And now, our story continues. The headlights of the bus pierced through the blinding rain. Young Corey Murdoch drove slowly, carefully, not only as a precaution, but in order not to jolt the two seriously injured men he carried as passengers, victims of the explosion that had occurred earlier at the cement plant a few miles outside of Elkhorn City. There were two other people in the bus, Virginia Martin and a surly-looking man, Dick Haggerty, a foreman at Jonathan Smith Cement Plant, a man who was openly antagonistic towards the girl who calls herself Virginia Martin, who resented the way she had taken charge, her interference with what he believed to be his authority. But when he tried to question her as to who she was, where she came from, Dick Haggerty met with no success. But in return, he was equally evasive, strangely uncommunicative, when Virginia Martin questioned him about the explosion of the plant. Now, as the bus slows down...
Oh, what's the matter?
What do we stop for, Corey?
You folks come up here. We're at the fork. Can you see that ahead?
Boy, I'll say. Look at that water.
What do you think, Corey?
Well, I won't know until we try it, I guess.
You'll never make it. Don't be a dope. It's still not too late. What we ought to do is turn around right now. Probably that doctor's at the plant by this time.
No, I don't think so, Dick. He couldn't possibly be.
Well, I still say you ought to turn around. You'll never make it.
Stop saying that. Stop saying it.
I don't blame you for being worried, miss. I'd be kind of shaky myself if I'd bungled things, if I'd taken the responsibility for the lives of a couple of guys.
Oh.
If you're smart, lady, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. If anything happens to those two, it won't be so easy for you.
Corey, what do you think?
It's up to you. Whatever you say.
Well, I'm thinking of something Jean Wilkinson said. That she and her husband had been happy for the first time since they came to Elkhorn City. If anything should happen to him now...
You, want I should turn around?
No, Corey. Go on.
Okay.
Look at that. We'll be swimming any minute.
Shut up.
Well, lady, I'm shut up. Now, what have you got to say for yourself?
Oh, pipe down. She'll probably start up okay.
Corey, try again.
He'll just flood it. You'll never get it started now, Corey. The carburetor's wet. Well, that's that. I told
Listen,
you that...
Haggerty, so help me, if you say I told you so, I'll slug
you. Okay, okay. I'll leave it up to you wise guys. Just how do you think you're going to get out of here?
We're going to drive out. This bus hasn't failed me yet. Come on, baby. Don't let me down. You do it. Don't worry, miss. We're going through.
You hope.
No one spoke. To Virginia Martin, the flooded area seemed to stretch endlessly ahead like a flooded river. She held her breath against the moment when the motor would splutter and die. Then suddenly, they were through. It was over.
What did I tell you? I knew she'd make it.
Well, lady, all I have to say, luck sure was with you tonight.
Look, Mr. Haggerty, you seem to regard this whole thing as some sort of competition between you and me. Instead of thinking of those two men who need help.
Well, all I can say is you sure took a lot of responsibility on yourself. And a heck of a lot of risk.
But Dick Haggerty had no idea how great a risk Virginia Martin was taking, had no conception of the fear that was growing in her as they entered the outskirts of the town. Fear of questions, fear of eventual discovery. A few minutes later, they drove into the ambulance entrance of the Miles Memorial Hospital. Corey Murdoch opened the door, jumped out.
Corey Murdoch, for heaven's sake, what...
Miss Tucker, where's Dr. Paul? You gotta get him quick.
Well, what is it?
In the bus outside, we got a couple of men. They're hurt pretty bad. There was an explosion at the cement plant.
I'll call Dr. Cabot. B, emergency. Get hold of Dr. Cabot.
Looking for me, Tucker?
Never mind, B.
What is it, Tucker?
There's been an explosion at the cement plant, Dr. Cabot.
What?
There are two fellows. They're hurt pretty bad, I guess. I got them in the bus outside. One of them's unconscious and the other's burned.
Stretchers, Tucker?
We got them on stretchers. That is, on wooden planks.
Good enough. Let's go. You said there was an explosion at the plant?
Yeah, the boiler blew. That's the Paulson kid. He's been kind of shocked up to now, but I guess he must
Dr. Cabot.
Haggerty?
Dr. Paul, where's the doctor? Why doesn't someone...
You'll be okay, Billy. You're at the hospital now.
Can't you give him something, Doc, to sort of...
We'll give him something to alleviate the pain. Take that in, Corey.
Oh, God.
Easy now, Billy. You'll be all right. That's it. Good for you, Billy. It won't be long now. Help Corey with that in, Haggerty.
Okay, Doc.
Easy now. That's it. When did this happen?
The explosion? Oh, about 8 o'clock, I guess.
Ye gods, why didn't you people call?
We couldn't. The lines were down.
Oh. Watch it here at the step. Okay, that does it. You're doing fine, Billy. All right, now, put the stretcher on this table. That does it. Tucker?
Yes, Dr. Cabot.
Wheel him into the admitting room, then phone Dr. Paul.
Yes, Doctor.
All right, let's get the other fellow in. Isn't the other fellow Harry Wilkinson?
Yeah.
Well, what I don't understand, if the explosion occurred about 8 o'clock, why didn't you get these men in before now?
We were waiting for the doctor from Carterville.
Carterville? But that's miles from here.
I know, but you see, the road into town here is flooded at the fork. We figured that...
I'll say you figured, Haggerty. We'd all be sitting out there yet if it hadn't been for... Hey, where is she?
I don't know. Around someplace, I guess.
It just occurred to me. I didn't notice
all right,
she...
Corey, pick up that other end.
Yep.
Someone certainly used his head with these stretchers.
Her head, you mean, Dr. Cabot.
What are you talking about?
That girl. She's the one who came in with us. She's the one
Watch
who...
Watch it here now. Keep it level.
Did you see her leave, Haggerty?
Sure I did.
Well, why didn't you say something about it? I suppose you'd like everybody to think that you were the bright boy who managed this...
Oh, shut up.
Never mind the conversation, you two. Here, I'll get that door. Watch what you're doing, please. All right. Onto the table now.
Easy, Harry.
That's it. Now, you two stick around. I'll have some more questions to ask you later.
Look, Dr. Cabot, I can't. I've got to get my bus back down to the depot. See, I've got to make a report. And somebody's got to see about getting those folks back to town from the plant. My passengers are out there.
All right, Corey. We can always get in touch with you if we need you. But you stick around, Haggerty. I imagine you can tell all that happened.
What I know, sure.
But before I go, Dr. Cabot, about this girl. You see, it's important
What's
that...
all this about a girl?
Well, Haggerty probably wouldn't tell you.
Well, I haven't time now. I'll get the story later.
But she's gone.
Oh, don't get so excited. Probably just stepped across the street to the diner to get a cup of coffee or make a phone call or something.
But did she tell you?
No, she didn't tell me nothing. But don't worry. She'll be back for the applause.
Dr. Cabot walked away. He had too much on his mind at the moment to be interested in what to him was an incoherent conversation about some girl. Do you think, Dr. Cabot, that you will find out later? But later, Corey Murdoch, who knows the girl's name, will be gone. And Dick Haggerty is quite wrong in his assumption that she'll be back. For at this moment, in the driving rain, the young woman walks quickly towards the center of town. Virginia Martin, who is determined this time to make good her escape.